Blog Talk Radio.
So high five. You out. All right, nobody's here yet. Cool. It's me, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and welcome to the first YRG Radio Roundtable. So I'm hoping Robert gets on here pretty soon because this is the first time I've ever done this.
I'm right here, man.
All right, very cool, very cool. I'm looking around. Of course, I have everything open on my board here. I'm trying to get myself registered, and of course it says your login is not successful. So why would that be, you know, be with me, you know, because that's always what happens. I wait till the last minute. I actually wasn't waiting till the last minute. And for some reason, I can't get on here, which is a little frustrating. So I guess, well, how do I get myself on where I can actually see who's in the blog room and everything, Robert?
You should be able to go to blogtalkradio.com/YRG Radio, and then click on the show title.
Okay, on the show title, yeah. Pull that, Angie, shut the little title belt there. Angie's coming in here to check out what I'm doing. Okay, so I click the YRG Radio Roundtable. It stopped going, and let's see who's in. I don't see the chat thing, though.
Yeah, we've got plenty of members here.
Okay, great. All right, well, I can't see us, plus the Yoga Docs walls not be ready to go with it, and I'm not. So let me just start it out by welcoming everybody to the first show, and I want to give you a little background. When Yoga Doc gets in here, I'm going to explain who the Yoga Doc is and why he is essential to what YRG has become, and then we're going to bring Terry Lang on after that. But I wanted to give you a little background that maybe you haven't heard of how this all came to be. Is that Yoga Doc in?
I'll bring him in right now.
No. Bring him in. Just sit him out there. You can just hang. So it all started when I ruptured my L4 and L5. YRG was never about losing weight. It was about finding ways for me to hold back the hands of time and get me back in the ring so that I could live my dream of being a professional wrestler. The clip notes are I didn't become a wrestler until I was 35 and a half years old. My career didn't take off till I was 39. At 40 in 1996, Diamond Dallas Page and wrestling as a whole blew through the roof. Out of the top 10 shows on cable television, wrestling had 5 of the spots. Sometimes it even had 6 of the top 10 spots. It was an amazing time. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be in the middle of it all. And to put a definition on luck, I believe luck is when preparation meets opportunity. I believe each and every one of us have the ability to make our own luck. So 97 rolls around, 98, I'm literally on top of the world. I'm living the dream at a whole different level. According to Pro Wrestling Illustrated, they had ranked me number 4 in the world. Steve Austin was number 1. Goldberg was number 3. Some guy from Japan was number 2, but I was number 4, 97 and 98. I mean, I couldn't have been living the dream any stronger. I just signed a multi-million-dollar deal, and then bang, I ruptured my L4 and L5 so badly that 3 different doctors said my career was over. I was devastated. Now, around that time, I was introduced to yoga. In the first 42 years of my life, and I know there's a lot of guys out there listening to this, guys and women, who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga, who have found YRG and I have to tell you, it's nothing for nothing. You're doing a form of yoga. And here we are doing it. I like I said, I went to it out of desperation. And I was blown away by how much it really helped me. And just to give you a background into it, I started doing Brian Test videos. And one day I was just doing some up dog and down dog and stretching before I went in to, you know, start try to lift some weights and stuff. And this guy, George Heider, comes up to me and slipping really light. He goes, Jason, you're doing yoga. And now George, he was a linebacker for the South Carolina Gamecocks. He was 6'3", 260 pounds, handsome. I mean, guys wanted to hang with him. They wanted to be him. And girls, well, you know the rest. I mean, women love this guy. And he was the kind of trainer in the gym that be almost like, you know, I don't want to compare him to Jillian, but he was like Jillian, where he'll like, come on, give me three more, you got it in you. He was one of those real loud mouth trainers. And he used to wear his logo was the Michelangelo, it was finger in the lightning bolt, like the God thing, of the thing that Michelangelo did on the ceiling. And on the back it said, pain is my friend. Now, this guy was as regular guy, as meathead as I'd ever known. So when he told me about doing yoga, you're doing yoga, GDP, I was like, fuck you. Because I was busting my chops. And then I realized, no, I do it too. I'm like, he goes, I've been doing it the last couple of years. I'm like, no way. And he goes right into Road Warrior number 3. And he holds it there, and he talks to me. I'm like, oh, my God, how are you doing that? I'm trying to do it. I can't do that at all. So he became my first personal trainer to help me as I went on this journey of finding out what YRG was becoming. And so George started working with me, and unfortunately that pain is my friend thing, he took that a little too seriously, because whenever he'd get sick, whatever, he'd never go to hospital. Well, after a couple of months of, you know, being around him and working with him, I found that he ended up going to the hospital, and because he had this pain in his kidneys, it turned out that his kidneys were overloaded. Now, this guy was, at one time, a steroid junkie and partied way too much. He lived, I used to say he was everything from namaste to fucking A. I mean, he was everything all in one. And he was a really great guy. Everybody really loved him. But what ended up happening to George is he didn't listen to his body. So many of us don't listen to our bodies when all of a sudden you have a heart attack, you know, or you get diabetes, or, I mean, whatever happens to you. In this scenario, it was really serious because it was a kidney failure that went down, and he was sitting on the table with the doctor. He goes, Doc, I don't feel so good, and he went in and threw up and had a cerebral hemorrhage and flatlined, and that was it for George. He died right there. I actually dedicated the book that Yoga Doctor and I wrote together, Yoga for Regular Guys. I should choke up not thinking about it. To George, because he was a big influence to me when I first came, because he let me see that regular guys, like real men, did this shit, you know, or what would later become my version of it. And I got to tell you another thing about George. Never in my life have I ever seen so many gorgeous women at a funeral than there was at George Heider's funeral. I took them out of my place and go, George would be proud. Which leads me to my next guru who came into my life, and I found Dr. Craig Aaron, the yoga doc. Are you here, Doc? Doc here? Hello?
Hello, ready to go.
I was just worried I went out because Robert wasn't saying anything. I think, okay, we're dead here. I've been talking. Can you imagine me talking and nobody be, you know, I'm dead air because my phone went out? You know, it could happen. The bottom line is I found Dr. Craig Aaron, and we'll get into his pedigree in a moment. But I got to tell you, when I first got with him, he was so yogic. I mean, so the antithesis of George that, I respected what he did, but I didn't really get him, you know, because I'm like, well, this is a real yogi. I mean, like stone cold yogi. And then one day we're watching the Yankee game, and Doc, would you say you're a Yankee fan?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got the game on right now. Yanks are up 2-0 over Boston.
All right, If they start losing, try to keep you cool.
I'll be all right. Actually, what happens now is I turn it off now, as opposed to do what you're about ready to say. It's called evolution.
Exactly. So I'm sitting at Joe Doc's house, and all of a sudden, you know, the Yankees like miss a fly. What the fuck? Oh, what the hell? What the piece of shit? Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, what happened to the Namaste guy? And then I realized that it was like there was two guys here. One who really respected his, you know, his art form of yoga, and the other guy who was this heavy metal, heavy, you know, ex guy from rock heavy days of rock and roll, heavy metal days. You know, now is got like a major Sybil type personality. So Doc, give us some of your pedigree of, you know, where you come from.
Okay, well, started doing yoga back in 1988, actually, is my senior year in college, and just finished my career.
Your college?
Union College, went to Union College, upstate New York, played a year 1AA football down in Lafayette College, Union College from 85 to 88. And, you know, I'd heard stories about actually Rocky Blyer, running back, great, great running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the 70s. Heard that actually yoga changed his life in regard to finally getting his speed up to NFL level, even, you know, after he unfortunately had, you know, shrapnel in his hamstring and his calf. And
He was a Vietnam vet, right?
Yeah, Vietnam vet, and what happened to him is, you know, he came back from Vietnam, still wanted to play football. He was drafted by the Steelers before he went to Vietnam, got injured, came back, and lifted weights and ran and did everything he could. And every, you know, in probably 2 or 3 years running, he just couldn't get past a 5.2 or a 5.0 40-yard dash. And for a running back, even back in the 70s, you know, that's offensive lineman speed, you know. This is, remember, back in the 70s, he finally, and somebody said, you know, you've got to try yoga. And he ended up, you know, there was no yoga really available in the 70s except for like the YWCA. And he and, you know, a group full of ladies in those horrible leotards, you know, back in the 70s, are doing yoga. And all of a sudden, this guy started breaking up scar tissue, and he ended up running back then, which was fine, a 4.6, 40-yard dash. I said, you know what, I got to try this. And, it just, you know, that's where it started in 88. And I studied with a bunch of big-time guys like John Friend, who created his own type of yoga called Anyasara, studied Iyengar and... it was just one of those things from 88 all the way on out. It just seemed like it was the right thing to do.
How many hours would you say you've certified in?
It's funny. Back early on, well, the certification is more like around two, you know, I did a 200, I did a 40 hour. But, you know, if you talk about all of the seminars and everything we did before there was any kind of certifying body, yeah, you could say over 500 even before that, you know.
Right, right. And what about as a chiropractor, knowing the body?
Well, yeah, okay. So there was a natural progression, you know, 88. By the time that went down, you know, I decided to go to chiropractic school back in the early 90s. And, you know, graduated, you know, in the mid to late 90s. And, you know, that's basically, it's a pre-med program. Then all of a sudden you go through 4 years of, you know, chiropractic training. And, you know, after that, we did 100 plus hours of applied kinesiology, which is advanced chiropractic, extremity and sports specialty, another 100 hours. You know, we're doing a little bit.
I bring all this up because a lot of people, they don't know who you are. You know, they only saw me from the new YRG fitness system, and it didn't start like that. It started as two guys, helping each other, and Yogi Doc actually training me in the beginning, and I'll never forget one day at my house, and I was getting in crow position because I saw it in a magazine, and I brought it with me. I was like, dude, how's this guy doing this? I go, I'll never be able to do that. And he looked at me and he goes, say that again? And he caught me. And I said,
not yet.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, not yet. I go, but seriously, man, I go, how do I do that? And he just pops right into it. I go, all right, let me work on that. It took me time. And he said, dude, listen. He goes, don't worry about being able to get it right now. It's going to take you a little bit of time. He said, but eventually you're going to be teaching me shit in this. And that was years would go by, and so many little things started to happen, from the dynamic resistance to, instead of being feet together, feet wide. And the reason why that feet went wide was because I was surfing for 2 weeks on a 71-foot yacht in the Indonesia, and I realized, wow, when your feet are wider, then you can really engage even at a different level, and it just seemed more natural, because I never developed this for a band member. I never developed this for losing weight. It was about holding back the hands of time, and not until I started to work with different people. Terry would be a perfect example of it, how she came up and lost the weight and has kept it off all these years. We'll bring her on in a second. It goes back to being a barrier for strengthening your core, increasing your flexibility, and getting a cardiovascular workout with no impact on your body. So one day I was driving around. Kim and I were still together, and she was like, "What's your audience?" And at first it was guys. That was all I was thinking about for this idea for this infomercial that I wanted to do. This is 7 years ago, I think it was. And she goes, so why isn't it? It was originally yoga for normal people. That's where I took it from. And then she said, why isn't yoga for normal guys? I go, yeah. I go, that's right. I go, and she goes, yeah, you can use a hot-looking babes. That's why from the Yoga for Regular Guys book, you see all those yoga babes and hot-looking babes in the book. Because we were trying to grab guys and hook them in to doing our form of yoga. And then I went to bed that night, and I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Whoa, yoga for regular guys. And I got on the phone. I'm on the West Coast. Doc's on the East Coast. Saturday morning, I call him up. I go, dude. He goes, what are you doing up so early? I go, I've got it. I got this great idea. I go, I want to write this book, Yoga for Regular Guys. I go, it'll make you a black sheep in the yoga community, man, but I'd love to have you do it with me. And he goes, we got to change people's lives? I said, absolutely. He goes, I'm in. So bottom line is that's how we wrote that book together, going back and forth, emailing each other. I rewrite his, he rewrite mine, I rewrite his. In fact, Yoga Doc probably really wrote about 70% of the book in reality. But I oversaw everything that as it went through, and he was really a huge help through because, ADD and dyslexic, and on top of that, his knowledge of the body was just so amazing. And that's all became knowledge to me as we went along because you learn who you hang with. You are a product of your environment. So, that's how we came to do the book. So now that we've given you the backstory, and I was trying to do it in under 20 minutes. We did it in 18. We're going to bring on Terry Lang and Yogi Doc and I. We're going to co-host this show just to give you a little bit of a we're not going to do it on this Thursday, but it'll be the following Thursday, and it'll be every Thursday at 9 o'clock East Coast, 6 o'clock West Coast, because my boy, the Yoga Doc there, plays in like, how many bands you play in, Yoga Doc?
I've pared it down. I've gone from 5 to 2 in order
Tell
for me
kind
to
of
just
music to play.
It's the music of my youth, so it's like 80s hair metal in one band. And then we get a little bit heavier in the other band. One band's called Iron Mullet, and we do everything from Bon Jovi, to little Motley Crue, and we actually pay tribute to every one of them. We actually put the costumes on, and we do a little bit. And then the Sciatica, the name of the band is Sciatica from a chiropractor. And then we do a little bit more of like the heavier stuff, Metallica, Ronnie James Dio, Black Sabbath, that kind of stuff. You gotta do it, man. You gotta do it. You gotta have fun in your life.
And how old are you, Yogi Doc?
44. I'll be 44 next month.
44 years young. Now, to pay tribute to YRG, Yoga Doc does the flying David Lee Roth splits in the air. And tell them how you prepare before you actually go out to play a gig. Tell them what you do.
At the very least, it's 20 to 60, 75 minutes of, you know, it's YRG, it's, you know, a little bit of Ashtanga yoga, which, you know, YRG has been taken from, you know, given that we put that together. And, yeah, I can't. Bottom line is, if I don't do any type of...
What about taping yourself up, though?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I took it from the old world of back when I used to play football. The ankles, sometimes even the hamstrings. And I look like a mummy. Then I pull the costume on, and, you know, we're off to the races.
So monster preparation. So if you're doing any kind of, you know, sport, you're preparing for it through YRG, you know, whether it's to play, you know, it's going to be home, play basketball, or, you know, if you're going to play whatever sport, skiing, whatever, you know, really loosen up. And YRG becomes a great method to warm your body up and your muscles before you go out there and strengthen it. But also you might want to wear that knee brace or tape your ankles or do something to help give you some extra support depending on how you are physically. I happen to
no
be
doubt.
So broken up. Before I would go into the ring, which I'm finally done with that after this knee operation, when I'd go to the ring, I mean, I look like I was going to war. And so does he when he's going to play music. So all that being said, let me bring in the first regular guy, the first person who was taking little pieces of little things that I was developing along the way, and the woman that I call the godmother of YRG, the one and only Terry Lang. Are you there, darling?
I am here. Hi, guys.
Hey,
hi, everybody.
Sir.
Hey. Hi, Yogi Doc.
Hey,
good to talk with you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I feel honored to be, like, the first guest host. Thank you. And hello to all you wonderful YRG family people and my son, Jared, who usually stays away from my projects. He's on the line. He knew he'd be a target tonight.
Well, like I said, we brought Terry in because it's the embryonic stages of YRG that she was in, you know, that I can't call it what I call, even Arthur did or whatever, because it was just so embryonic at the time. But I wanted to bring her on here because she's such a phenomenal inspiration. And, Doc, pop in anywhere you want to ask her a question or whatever, and then we'll get to some of the people because we're going to bring somebody into the queue in about 20 minutes, and then they're going to be able to talk with us, and that's where the round table will start to be formed, and it'll pop in for a question or two and then pop out, and someone else can pop in and ask a question, Terry or me or Yogi Doc or whatever. I want to talk about, Terry, about I didn't ask you to actually, I wanted you to take pictures in the beginning, and you wouldn't do that, right?
That's true. I did not follow any of the rules and ideas that everybody else is doing, but I learned why it was important. But you're right, I didn't want to face me in the beginning.
Do you wish you had those pictures?
Absolutely, I do. Because I learned you don't know where you are on your journey if you don't know where you started. And I did take some later, as you know, as I was losing weight than I was taking it, but it holds me back then, just like the other women tell me, when they don't want to take pictures either because they don't want to see this person. They're hoping to get rid of her. And I say, what I learned was I needed to embrace her and look in the mirror. This is what I tell the women now that I told myself along the journey is say goodbye because you're never going to be that person again. And there's not shame and guilt in being overweight. So we need to dump that idea. The only thing it is less healthy. It's not about being a good person or a bad person. So let go of that. Wave goodbye to them and look in the mirror and say, you're never going to be that same person again. It was huge for me.
So let me ask you another question. And, Doc, like you said, pop in anywhere.
Sure.
Question, whatever. There was a point in time where I said, Terry, and this is, got to remember, guys, this is 7 years ago. We hadn't even started writing the book yet. It was just a figment of my imagination at the time. And I said, Terry, you got to go back and write your journey. You got to write your story. Because she hadn't written it along like I encourage everyone to do. And I didn't want her to have to tell the story over and over and over again, because right then we were just starting to become computer literate. You know, she's going to be 59 years young. You know, I'm 54 years young. You know, this is 7 years ago. We didn't really understand the computer. But I said, if you just write it, you can cut it and paste, and then you can just let other people read it. So we started to set her up a site, I believe that. But it was her, in the beginning, it was her writing the things. And what was that like?
First of all, it was very challenging, as Robert knows, and you and my son. I'm not computer literate, so it took me forever to write a story, and then you want me to fix it up, and you know, I could type, but I never understood the logistics and the buttons and whatever. I guess they're keys on a computer. Still don't, as Robert saved me today already on something. But that was the first step, was, how in the heck do I get, what is WordPerfect? I didn't even know that. So it was really a daunting task to write. And then as I started, it was amazing that it just poured out of me. All these thoughts, because I thought I was just losing some weight, but it's all about the mental game, and it's just been a journey, and I'm still evolving. And the stories, I went back and read them today because my journey started a long time ago, really. And it was amazing what you and I talked about, and other clients that helped me along my way, like Peggy's online. She lived here in Atlanta and was a client of mine. And everybody's supportive, and we learn from each other. We talk nutrition. We just like the Y, she's part of the YRG family. It's very supportive. But writing the stories was very cathartic, and at times my husband would say, when he would read one, going, oh my gosh, you didn't say that. But I wanted to be honest about what I was feeling, how I was looking, what was changing in me, and how it was affecting my private life, and the weight loss did. And I talk with women and men, but particularly women, I guess we talk the most, is how your relationships change when you lose weight. Maybe you men go through this too, but your friendships change, your support groups. It's been an interesting lesson, quite a few of them, and the stories help me learn about myself.
So that's just like there's certain things that we're talking about here that may answer some of your questions. And, you know, for Terry not wanting to, you know, write that in the beginning and then embracing it and writing it, it's very, you know, cathartic. And I see a lot of people who write up on Team YRG, their bios, and they stick with it a little bit and then they go away. But the people who actually really stick with it, and I see Doug Steppen out there, who's been, you know, we have him spotlighted this month, and as it just turned out, he just hit 100 pounds of weight loss in 9 months, which is pretty damn amazing, not to mention how strong he is, has become, and what a great leader he is out there. So, you know, he got it. You know, I actually met Doug in Qatar on my way to Afghanistan, and eventually I will definitely bring him on as a guest and let him tell that whole story, because it's pretty powerful, because sometimes you fall down a couple times before you actually go all the way through. Terry happened to be one of those people who actually – got it when we had our talk and sort of hit her. You know, I often say that, you know, a lot of people have to have the Scrooge syndrome. And what I mean by the Scrooge syndrome, that you're visited by three different ghosts telling you you're going to die before you want to change your life. I had, you know, I thought that I was her first ghost, but as it turns out, you were telling me your mom was.
Right. And I think you remember that piece of the story. It just, we didn't talk about it in that way, but I had just buried my mother in October of 2000, and she had several heart attacks over the 18 months previous. She was very overweight, and I was also 49 and a half. Like many women, I did not want to be turning 50. So both those thoughts were going through my head, is when I would look in the mirror, I saw my mother picture instead of mine, her image. And I would be saying to myself, I'm getting old. I'm going down the same journey as her. I'm going to be sick, and this is my fate. It was almost like I accepted that. I didn't like it. I wasn't sure what to do about it, but it was wrestling in my head like, I need to change something. But I kind of bought into, I'm just getting older. This is the way it is for most women that I knew in general. We got older. We got heavier. We started having problems. I didn't have any medical problems at that time. That would have probably, for me, kicked me into action sooner if I'd had hypertension. I'm a dad, a nurse, so everything was good on my stats, so I just was a little overweight. But having to bury my mother and then thinking I'm going to become her, it was scaring me to death. And you were the huge ghost. You were the one that spoke back to me. And I was ready for definitely, and still speaking back to me. But I think I was ready to listen. That's the biggest difference. I'm a nurse. I talked the talk for 25 years about health. But the last 10 years of my 40s, I wasn't walking the walk. So it wasn't like you're really telling me stuff I didn't know. It's just I was receptive, and I wanted to hear it. That's why we keep talking to people who fall down, who pick themselves back up. You don't always get it the first time or the fifth time. That's your ghost. They keep coming back to you, and if you fall down, you have to get back up, or the next ghost is a little bigger, like Paige was over my mother, a little bigger. He spoke a little louder. I didn't want to see any more ghosts after him. I got it.
You know, it's funny because, you know, there was a point where I realized, okay, wow, this actually does help people lose weight. Because of the dynamic resistance gets you to fat burning zone standing still. So this is pretty interesting. So we would start to help other people, guys and women. And one of them is a girl. If you've seen the infomercial, which is on YRGFitness.com, that's part of the videos, you'll see Stacy, not Stacy Mars, but Stacy Salvi. And I'll bet you Stacy started with us and took those pictures 5 separate times. And I'll never forget Terry going, she's doing it, she's doing it. I'm like, yeah, right. You gotta, don't tell me, show me. And then she lost 10 pounds, 15, 20, 30. Oh my God, she's like getting ready for the infomercial. And she ended up being one of the girls in the infomercial, actually, is one of the videos. I believe she's in, I think it's Energy. She's in that workout, I'm not sure. But this shows you don't know how many times someone's going to start and stop. And so don't beat yourself up, you know, if you fall down. Now, if you stay down, then beat yourself up so you can pick yourself back up. Why don't we bring, do we have Robert? Do we have anybody in the queue that wants to come on and talk or ask a question or anything?
Actually, yeah, we've got somebody in the queue who has been sitting there since we started. So,
want me to get Doug?
Honestly, I'm not sure who it is. It may just be Doug, okay. So let's see if we can find out.
Okay, who is it? Who we have here? Hello?
We've got someone from the 413 area code. Are you there?
Okay, well, maybe they got kicked out. Okay.
Okay. Since we got a velvet rope up already? <It's>, Doug said it's not him. At least that's what he just wrote.
Okay, well,
on the comment board.
Tell them Robert, tell them how they can get into the queue. Because I have no idea.
Let me put that number right over there.
Robert?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that number right over there in the chat room.
Okay, so Robert's bouncing the number into the chat room. If you want to call in and ask, trust me, I could talk for hours. Yeah, we have so many different people ask so many different questions. I'm going to ask some of the questions that Terry's been asked, quite frequently. Let me tell you this too. Terry's the one who turned me on to being gluten free and dairy free. Now she's not the first person that said it to me. My brother said it to me years ago. His nutritionist and mentor is 80 years old. They ran 10 miles on the beach last Sunday. He's 80. My brother's 53. And 10 miles on the beach. So these guys are warriors. And they eat at a whole different level. my brother was trying to tell me, encourage me to get off of wheat and dairy because there's such inflammation in your joints. And that's why I talk about it so much. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm fine. I'm not that sore. I'm all right. Well, then I turned 50, 51, 52, 53. I was like really starting to hurt. Now, Terry, over this period, had found out that she was a full-blown celiac. And what happened there, Terry?
Yes, I had gotten in shape since I was 50, but somewhere around 55, when I was 55 or so, my body, 54, remember how it started changing? And even I was buying in, well, I must be just getting older again. But I was doing all the right things, but I was getting sick. My body was changing. I was fatigued. I had this eczema on my forearms, and I thought I was just massaging so many bodies, those hairy backs, whatever, irritating my arms. But I went to all my doctors. I went to all my doctors, medical doctors, and they are like, you're just getting older. You're great. Your weight's great. Your pressure's good, blah, blah. You're fine. Just get used to it. You're getting older. And I couldn't accept that. And I went to see a fabulous nutritionist. One of my clients who had a problem had seen her probably a year before and told me I needed to see her. Well, I kept going to other doctors because I'm a nurse. I go to the medical doctors thinking they're going to help me. I didn't get helped. And one day I saw this client again. He said, you don't look well, and you need to see her right now. He told me to call her while he was there. I made an appointment. She saved my life. She turned me around. She told me not to eat wheat, gluten, rye, oats, barley, et cetera. She told me to get off dairy right away as I was an asthmatic since I had pneumonia. Lots of things happened at 55 for me. And I have been eating this way ever since. And I would tell Dallas about this, but he slowly just watched. My body started changing.
But also, she said that your skin was going to tighten up. Now, when you're a woman and you lose that weight, and guys too, but mainly women, when you lose that weight and you got those arms, especially when you get to your 50s, those arms just stay there. They're like, Terry would call them bat wings.
I know.
And she's like, are my arms ever going to get any smaller? I'm like, baby, I can't imagine. I don't know anybody who's ever done that, So I think you're to get used to that, unless you want to get down to beanpole size. Brenda told her that her arms would start to tighten up, that her stomach would start to tighten up, and that she would lose cellulite. And I'm like, bullshit. There's no way I'm buying that. I said, well, you know what? She says, 2 years, we'll see. And I hadn't seen you in about 4 months because I'd come into Atlanta and missed you. And I hadn't seen you in about 4 or 5 months. And I remember walking in the door, and I was like, damn, you look great. And you went, look at this. Look at my arms. And you took your jacket off. Like, oh, my God, they are smaller. She goes, they are. I've got the pictures to prove it. And she goes, and I hardly have any cellulite. I'm like, oh, my God, look at my belly. It's tightened up. I'm like, okay, I'm listening now. Because if you're going to lead me by example. So now my body's feeling really, really, really sore. No matter, that's why for those of you who have the workout, the wake up workout, that was developed because I was so sore when I wake up and it hit the floor. I'd started it in my bed like that workout does and go to the floor. Before you know it, okay, I'm ready to go. I called it oil for the tin man. And, I have to tell you God's honest truth, since I stopped eating wheat, I haven't done that workout in the morning. I mean, never. Because I wake up, I get out of bed, I feel completely different. And what shocked me was when I saw what happened with Terry, and then I woke up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and I just had like a spasm, like, oh, my God. And I pushed myself back in bed like, oh, my God, my body's killing me. And you talk about being ready to hear something. Here I am always teaching this, teaching that, and preaching this and preaching that. I wasn't on that gluten, no dairy deal until that happened to me that following weekend. I said, Terry, every time I come to Atlanta, I stay with Yogi Doc, and you're intolerant to wheat to a certain degree, aren't you, Doc?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was really interesting. I was just, Terry, are you still there?
I am.
Yeah, Terry, remember when, because when I was treating you, And you were talking about the pneumonia, and it would never go away. And
right.
I don't know if you remember, you were at that point, you were trying to, you know, to kill it with antibiotics.
Exactly,
and
the yogurt story. I remember
the yogurt
you turned
story,
me around.
I said, hon,
yes.
She said, well, I'm taking the yogurt, too, in order to help the floor. And I'm like, get off the yogurt, for crying out loud. You know, and I know everybody says take yogurt for, you know, in order to give you the good bacteria back. And I said, you're not getting any good bacteria out of the yogurt anyway.
Yeah.
And possibly the dairy's breaking down your immune system, which is keeping it, making it worse.
You know,
and,
but you're so right. I'd forgotten that moment because
I just
so
forgot
sick.
About it too until
you,
now.
You wore a mask, and I came in. I was so weak. Because I was just so sick, still recovering from the pneumonia, and you were asking me these questions, and I said I'm too weak to eat, but I eat yogurt. It's the only thing I can keep down. And you said, "Stop that this minute!" Just like putting gasoline into your lungs on the fire.
Yeah.
Stop it. And I went home. I never took another bite. And even by the next day, I was less gurgly. I was breathing some. My lungs started to clear. It made me never touch yogurt again until I discovered this coconut milk yogurt 3 years later, thank goodness. But
let me tell you about that. I'm at Terry's, and she's actually, you know, she's literally taking care of me, waiting on me hand and foot when I had my knee surgery. Yogurt doc could never appeal that. He would have definitely knocked me out.
I thought about it, fellas.
But she goes, I've got this great yogurt. I go, I don't like yogurt. She goes, it's not yogurt, it's coconut yogurt. I go, coconut yogurt? She goes, yeah, it's coconut yogurt. Here, just try this. So she hands me some coconut yogurt. I think you sprinkle a couple of shavings of coconut on it and some fruit. I was like, oh, my God, this is delicious. I mean, really great. You want to have a treat in the morning? I mean, go get the Whole Foods, I know, has it. I don't know who else does. But don't get the vanilla, because the vanilla is way too sweet. But if you get the plain coconut yogurt that Terry served me that day and mix it with some of your favorite fruits, if you're trying to lose weight, which a lot of you I know are conscious of, stick with your sub-acid fruits, you know, your berries, your strawberries, your raspberries, blueberries, blah, blah, blah. And it's all in the program guide, all your sub-acid fruits, and throw that in there. And if you want, throw a little some of that gluten-free granola in there. Oh,
exactly.
My God. I had a guy over at my house yesterday. He was the producer of our movie Pizza Man. He used to be the producer on Heroes for the last 4 years, but they just canceled that. And now he's doing more movies. And he's a young kid, 32 years old, maybe 6'1". When he weighed in, he was 300. I said, well, how much you weigh now, Foz? This is my first measure. He goes, 265. Now, some of you are familiar with this move. 265, I'm thinking, there's no way he's under 290, you know. When he got to my house, when he finally got on the stage, I said, so are you ready to weigh yourself? He goes, I think I'm 320. He was 320.6. So Foz, because of being an athlete, got the dynamic resistance so good. First of all, I put a heart monitor on him and walking around, I guess he's a little bit nervous starting. So he's like 112. I go, dude, you're 112 walking around. Like, you're going to safety zone. He went down to the safety zone. He pretty much immediately went down to 84 beats a minute. Then I said, okay, now stand up and let's start ignition and go right into two touchdowns and two diamond cutters. He went from 84 to 144, bang, like that. And his workout in the beginning, and that's why I encourage you, you'll see that Michael G, I can never say his last name right, so it's called Michael G, who started at 377 pounds 3 months ago at 5'4", 377 pounds. He's actually been videotaping some of his workouts. He just does it once a month to see where he's at. He's down 50 pounds in the first 3 months. Now, again, he's doing phase three plan. So people who are wondering, well, why aren't I losing weight like this? I have all this weight to lose. You know, Arthur is designed after phase three, and that's no wheat, no dairy, no food combining. Do not combine your protein and your carbs. I do that when I really want to get lean. If you want to gain weight, combine your proteins and your carbs. So go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry to cut you off. I had to get that in there, though. Hello?
Hello? Where'd everybody go?
No, we're here.
Okay, just
breathe. We were talking about dairy. You're talking about wheat. We're talking about wheat sensitivity, and we were talking about actually the yogurt. Oh, and by the way, you know, given that we're breaking down walls here today, because you know, let's face it, we've got the wheat industry and the dairy industry obviously continuously talking to us about, you know, how they're so wonderful in different ways. You know, you got to look at certain types of yogurt that are advertising putting the good bacteria back in, the lactobacillus acidophilus and everything, like Activia, right? It's all a big work. I mean, honestly, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I might as well be the heel, right?
Or the angel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just depends. But, you know, and they're selling this as a way to say that it's going to help your immune system. It helps your, you know, your digestive system after antibiotics. Honestly, it's not. You're not getting it. So, you know, that goes right along with the yogurt story with Terry. You know, if you're going to do acidophilus or some kind of, you know, helpful way to get the good bacteria back in your digestive tract after an antibiotic therapy for some reason, you certainly don't want to pump dairy into it, because what you're doing is actually feeding the bad bacteria by putting dairy back into your system, because it's a big sugar molecule, whether you're sensitive to it or not. And on top of that, you're really not getting any of the good bacteria from any of these yogurts. So, you know, in essence, it actually weakens the immune system. So that's my two cents on all of that.
I wanted to insert on dairy also as a nurse, especially when I was an allergy nurse. We used to tell people when they were sick, every time they had their sinus infections and colds, bronchitis all the time, we would say, cut back on your dairy because it thickens the mucus. It's a reservoir,
right,
like you say, for the infection to grow more. And so I got thinking, wait a minute, if I wait till you're sick to tell people to cut back on it because it's not good for you, why would you have it at all to create the mucus to enable you to get the sinus infection you now are troubled with? And I have to say, since I haven't had dairy in three and a half years now, I haven't had one sinus infection, and I was chronic bronchitis, not just sinus infection, and obviously pneumonia person, nothing. I take very little allergy medicine just in the high season. Do I take an over-the-counter antihistamine? It's been amazing, and on the rare time I slip a little dairy in, I can tell I just have more mucus the next day, but I just make sure it's one time. When I eat my gluten-free pizza, because I don't eat soy, I'll eat mozzarella cheese. But I know when I've had dairy, it shifts. I'm that aware. My body speaks to me, just like your body speaks to all of you. It's just we don't all want to hear it, so we ignore it or we don't get it yet, but it's telling us.
I want to interject here, because for the first time I've actually taken a glance and looked down, and I finally did get myself on the queue that I can actually see what people are writing.
Yeah, I saw your post. It's about time, dude.
It's right. Better late than never, darling.
You know, I had to figure, you know, I had to put the right password in there. But I read that, and I caught Nathan. He said, I'm trying to get in shape, but it's tough. I'm 26 and 24. I had a heart attack.
Oh, I just read that.
Yeah, a month or so later, my wife died, and I put on 60 pounds at YRG Works. And I saw a lot of the comments that people were saying to you. Nathan, as you can see, I mean, people actually really give a shit about people here. You know, it's not just, you're not going to turn it. You know, a lot of people, I saw Doug Stepin write you a thing. Feel free to write him anytime. Doug is, along with Stacy and, so many of the people out there reach out, to each other to help each other, when you need that push. Just feel free to, to let it out there, man. Is there anybody in this queue that wants to step in? I don't want to put anybody off, but maybe they don't know how to get in there.
We've got waiting right now.
You don't have to get in. There is somebody in?
Yeah, there's somebody in there. Let me bring him in for you.
Yeah, let me know when they get in there, dude.
Okay, we've got a caller from area code 413.
Hey, what's up, DDP? Brian here.
Hey, Brian, my buddy the cop, Brian.
Great show, guys.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
And,
welcome.
I met Brian at a fan fest, and we just became buddies. You know, my old lady, you know, there's always called me the King of Marks. Mark, he was a great fan and a friend, and we just clicked it off. And then he brought me in, and we did an autograph signing together, and we did really good, had a lot of fun together. Bob Backlund was with us, and we did YRG. You know, and he had never done it with me. What was that first workout like, bro?
I wanted some of the formaldehyde they put in the wheat. Blown up.
So tell them last night, you called me last night from your squad car, and what were you watching?
Oh, yeah, that on the road with DDP thing that you and RF Video shot in Philly. And I'm working with you. Do we know when you went and did the media tour and you guys filmed it?
Yeah, let me just skip back from that. I did a meet. I got off a train coming from New York to Philly, and this RF Video came and filmed me getting off the train to into the car to go to the hotel. We went to the Four Seasons, and we came in filming, and they were like, by the time we got upstairs, I was getting calls from the head of the I guess from my publicist first, going, man, you can't film in the Four Seasons. I'm like, why? Because a lot of people there may not want to be seen, you know, being filmed. Oh, maybe they shouldn't be there. So I got a little bit of trouble, but I called the lady up. She was, oh, thank you so much. You know, because, you know, I'm a celebrity of sorts, you know, to say a little bit anyway. But, you know, so she was like, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Page. I just wish you had told us ahead of time. I was like, I really didn't know it's the truth. So they filmed me from there. We filmed in the room. We talked about YRG. We talked about, you know, a lot of different things. And then he filmed me going to the stations. And so, Bobby, you're watching that last night, and one of your cops, one of your buddies with you is watching it too, right?
Yeah, so I'm working with this guy, and he's been last time I worked with him, he was saying, man, what are you doing? What do you do? I'm going to do what you do. And it was time to eat, and we pulled over. He goes, where do you want to eat? I go, pull the car over and break out the cooler. Because you got to be prepared. You can't be at the mercy of the restaurant, so it's not going to work out for you. And it just won't. You know what I mean? If you don't plan, success, you'll fail. And so then the next time I work with the guy, I throw this video in the thing, and I'm showing it to him. He's like, you really do this stuff? Go, yeah. He goes, it'll change my life. He goes, because I run 2 miles 3 times a week. I go, dude, don't even bother. He breaks out his lunchbox. It's 8 o'clock at night. He's got a bologna sandwich on wheat bread. So I go, watch a little of this. I put it in. He goes, you really do this? He goes, I want to try it. I go, nah, you're full of shit. He says, no. I go, no, you are. Stop wasting my time. I go, if you want this thing, get on your iPhone and order it right now, or I'm not talking to you anymore about it. Just, I'll be done with it. And what do you know? He orders the system.
Funny.
That's it. You know, step up. Everybody wants to talk. Actions. Look at the website. Anyone out there, look at the website. It works.
All these people, they're already converted. They're already in the loop, so to speak. So,
I'm telling you, it works.
Are you on patrol right now, officer?
We're on a break.
Good answer.
We're on a break though, but I'll tell you, anybody out there who's never met DDP or anyone, get into his world. I'm telling you, I've met more people, the network's strong, wonderful, wonderful people. I've turned a bunch of people onto this stuff too, and it just grows and grows and grows. And not only will you change your body, you'll change your mind, and you'll change your outlook on life. Success finds success, guys.
We were talking about live life at 90%, which is something I stuck up there on the site. Anybody can, you know, have to load down, and, you know, it's my concept of, you know, positive lifestyle, you know, because without that, seeping in the negative comes. And, you know, I also like to teach, and it doesn't matter what age you're at, you know, find, you know, a real, the dream, living the dream is finding something you love to do and get someone to pay you to do it. I'll give you an example of Yogi Doc first. Yeah, here's a guy, ex-rock and roll singer. He's 42 years old, and he decides he's going to, you know, do his karaoke with a live band. And Anto, don't bother me right now. I'm doing something. He's gonna do karaoke with a live band, and that's where he starts every Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, he's got that band at Jen's party, and he's playing the lead, playing, you know, singing all the songs. Next thing you know, he's got a band. It cost him money, but today he makes money.
Right, yeah.
And it's not a lot of money, but he makes good money, you know, playing in a band, doing something he loves. Brian here, we were talking about Live Life at 90% and the concept. He wanted to promote different guys and bring them into signings. Last week, I think you brought in, who'd you bring in last week?
Tommy Dreamer, Buell McGillicuddy, and Maria Kanellis.
Maria Kanellis from Celebrity Apprentice, and you know, one of the biggest stars in WWE, and he had a killer weekend. Yeah, but he wasn't doing that before he shifted his mindset to the 90%. The concept being life really is 10% what happens to you, and 90% of how you react to it. And that's something that, you know, you don't live it 100% of the time because you'd be a robot, you know. But if you can try to live it 60, 70, 80, 90% of the time, you're going to come up on the, you know, on the much better end. So, Terry, I want to close this out with a couple quick questions to you. And these are questions I know you get asked a lot. Like, what do you eat when you get hungry?
When I get hungry, I try to first have some water, a drink.
That's huge
because your body doesn't know the difference between thirst and hunger. Yoga Doc can explain that better than me. Yeah. But usually I'm just thirsty. Or I like to have a cup of green tea. I'm a tea drinker. And then I move on to fruit, something like that. You know, raisins, a banana, watermelon, an apple. Usually I grab that. But if it's a common thing that I'm finding myself, especially when I was losing weight, hungry, I look back on what I was eating. Because if you're hungry every day, something's not right. You're just not eating enough or the right foods or something. So if that's a pattern, I would go back and go, okay, this isn't working for me. I'm too hungry. What do I need to do? Also, I would get on the mat and do some stretching out, a couple of YRG things, because sometimes, or a lot of times actually, I wasn't really hungry. It's just I had something on my mind or an emotion or a feeling or boredom, restlessness, a whole bunch of stuff. And it wasn't about food. That's how I got my weight. It wasn't about food, really. It was other things. But sometimes you're just plain darn hungry. So maybe I might now grab my coconut yogurt. Yeah.
So the bottom line is, I just saw a thing, and I'm going to post it. I thought I posted it up there. Maybe I didn't. And it's Coke versus water. And you got to read all of the different reasons why you never want to drink a Coke and always want to drink water. And probably the number one thing that I took out of it that I thought was really amazing was our bodies, when we think we're hungry, we're not really hungry. We're thirsty. But we're so used to eating to replace that as food. Like, I got a bottle of water in front of me right now. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm drinking a bottle of water. As I'm getting out of bed, I'm drinking a bottle of water. So, I mean, because that right away, that starts to flush your system, and it'll actually hydrate your body. If you're hydrated, you're not going to be as hungry. So that's a great point there. What are your thoughts on that, Doc?
All right, here you go. One rule of thumb, one half your weight, your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of clean water a day. That's number one. At least try to get there as best you can. Drink a bottle or drink something, drink water first thing when you wake up in the morning.
Aaron, I can't find this Martha Street. What's it off of?
Brian, hang up. Disconnect, Brian. We love you, baby. See you.
I love it. That's awesome. Drink a he's on break, by the way. Drink a good glass of water when you wake up. Drink throughout the day. Carry, you know, what I find that really works is carry a gallon of water with you wherever you go and make sure that you have that finished by the time you get home from work or when it's time to go, to eat dinner. You should pretty much have that finished already, and that'll keep you hydrated. If you are 1% dehydrated, your body still really doesn't feel it. You know, your body doesn't – you don't even feel thirst until 1% or 2% dehydration. And the thing about that is 1% or 2% dehydration actually causes your muscles to weaken almost, you know, 30%. it's wild, you know, and I know that from all the muscle testing that I do in my practice as a applied kinesiologist. So it makes a huge difference. It emulsifies fat. It does, it just cleans your body out. It's one of the most important things you can do on a daily basis.
And then this is one of the main reasons I really, you know, I really wanted to bring Yogi Doc back into the fold because he's so instrumental in so many things that has happened along this journey that we've been on. I wanted to give him credit because he deserves it, because he's been not just a brother to me, but he helped me through so many of the things, just like what you're listening to right there. I didn't know any of that knowledge until I'd heard it from him, or I heard it from Fred, or I heard it from Bernadette. You know, it's each person that I grab a little bit of knowledge from. But Doc, here we have our own online chiropractor. He's way more than just a chiropractor, applied kinesiologist. He's, you know, one of the, you know, developers of YRG, and understands the body, you know, probably better than anybody, you know. And then we have Terry, who's, you know, our first, you know, our godmother of YRG, who is not only, you know, the first person to really go through the system and keep it off, because getting it off is, like, it's, I used to say, getting to be a top guy as a professional wrestler is the hardest thing you'll ever do. No, it isn't. Holding on to it once you get there. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. That's why you never see... How many Super Bowls? I know that they, who's won back-to-back Super Bowls, Doc? You would know that.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Patriots won a few. The Packers won a few.
But no triples, though, right?
Well, not three in a row. I mean, you know, I think the Steelers have the most Super Bowl wins, you know, in history. Yeah, it's tough to repeat. And, you know, three times in a row, yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
It has happened in basketball a couple of times.
Right.
But
the Lakers have three-peated.
Yeah, and so did Chicago. But it's one of those things that's only 3 years.
Yeah.
This is not even 4 years. That's how hard it is to, you know, the only way that you really lose the weight and get in shape is that, you know, when I first dealt with Arthur, and this wasn't with Terry so much, not at all, but when I talked to Arthur, and we'll bring Arthur on in a couple of weeks, because I want to get a couple of these under our belts, and then I know people got to have questions for him. next week I'm going to bring in Angela, as a matter of fact. That's going to be our not this Thursday, but next Thursday I'm going to bring on Ange. And Ange has been, she's writing her own cookbook called My Picky Eaters, and I'll let her talk about that. And she does help a lot of people with their, you know, choices, because so many people say, well, if you're not going to eat wheat because it's in everything, what do you eat? Well, she'll answer some of those questions for you. But one of the reasons why we've developed this thing is about getting into the queue. Okay, like Brian was the only guy to come in here tonight. And I know some people want to be shy and don't want to. Maybe you just want to listen. If you just want to listen, cool. If you just want to listen but you want to get something, information, go to Team YRG. There's a forum. What's that forum called, Robert?
We have the question and answer forum. Let me pull that up and I'll tell you what the exact name is. And you're talking about the one for Blogspot Radio, right?
Yep. I'm talking about the one for people can get questions asked, and we'll answer them right on here. I don't think anybody even knows it's available, do they?
Yeah, nobody's hit it yet. So
I'm letting you know, and I see a bunch of you out there, and some of you I get to talk to, you know, because you've gotten that goal, because you've hit, you know, some sort of milestone, and, you know, I will just occasionally pick up the phone and call you. You know, I just got to see that you're putting the work in. But if you're putting the work in, I want to see you do it and hit that goal and move past that goal and make new goals. And that was the whole thing with Terry. Once she got to her goal, it was like, well, what do you do next? Well, you make new goals. Because if you don't, you fall down. And then you beat yourself up like Dylan did. You know, Dylan lost 100 pounds in 10 months. It was amazing. And then he gained some back, and then he gained some more. Next thing you know, he's 275 pounds again. You know, and now he's losing it again. I think he was 282, and now he's down. He's under 270s now, I'm sure. But I want him to tell that story of falling down and what it meant. And comes the shame and the blah, blah, blah. Forget all that crap. When you fall down, pick yourself up as soon as possible. know, that's really, if you've seen me write it on 100 blogs out there, it's not about how many times you fall down, it's about how many times you pick yourself back up again. Don't beat yourself up. Help each other out. So if you have a question, okay, if you have something, because we'll bring Terry back again, if you have a question for someone, we will, and you don't want to actually get in the queue and ask it, if you post it on our forum there, questions for the blog, we'll answer it, and we'll send you an email in case you couldn't listen to it, because we're going to put this up there. That's why it was really important to me that this first show be about explaining, you know, how I got into the yoga, how I made it my own, called a YRG, how Yoga Doc got involved with me, who the Yoga Doc is, relevance to writing yoga for regular guys, who Terry is, the first person into this. And it's all about just giving that information in the beginning. So this, because we're only going to have one first show. And we're only going to do the show from 9 to 10 East Coast time. But right now we're about 4 minutes late. If it runs a couple minutes late, then, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, then we keep it going. If people have questions, and we'll take it right up to the 10:30 hour. So that's on you. You know that this is here for you. It's here to help inspire you, continue to strive for your goals. If you have any questions for any kind of food, or, you know, I think we answered a lot with water today. I thought that was really good. Is there anything that you would like to add, Terry, that you feel that you want to say on the way out of this?
Just, you said something just a minute ago in this conversation that spurred me on to help people remember about falling down. Because I think in the beginning often you think once you lose the weight, then you can be the old you again. And what I was just thinking about today was, and you and I have this conversation often, losing the weight is just half the journey. And the other half is keeping it off. And it's a lifelong process. So that's why I worked for Nutrisystem decades ago, that everybody kept losing the weight and coming back and forth. If you don't change your mental attitude, your lifestyle, you're going to gain it back. You're going to fall down and get up. And you have to know I'm still on the same journey as when I lost weight. I get to eat a little more food, but the journey is still the same. The mindset's the same. The workout, it's a commitment to change your life from the inside out. It just happens that your weight changes also. That's what I learned.
Now, we do actually have a couple of questions that have been emailed in if you guys want to tackle them.
Absolutely. Let's hit it. Go for it.
I've got one in front of me from the chat room, and that's from Wilkinson, and he wants to know, is the wrist soreness and stiffness I'm getting from doing YRG normal, and is it okay to work through it?
Yoga Doc?
Excuse me.
Okay.
Wow, that was tripping over the cue, wasn't it? I was just about ready to talk, and all of a sudden, went down the trachea. It honestly, it depends on what kind of wrist soreness you got, and does it happen all the time? That kind of thing. You know, the bottom line is this is right on up Terry's alley too. What's the first thing you do when you have wrist soreness, right, Terry? You ice.
Right. Ice.
You know.
Ice.
the next thing is you're gonna, is it normal? No, it's not normal. No, you're not supposed to. Pain is really the only pain that anybody should feel in the midst of a workout is not really pain, just more some fatigue from the fact that you're working hard. So we got to figure out what's going on with those wrists.
Let me make a suggestion. One of the things is those perfect push-up things.
Absolutely.
Putting your hands down, grabbing on the nose. I've seen that help a lot of different people. I would ice them. I mean, like, if you knew, like, I'm just sitting here. If you see some of my blogs, occasionally I pick my leg up. I go, let my, you know, from the Real DDP, those video blogs, you know, I'll pick up my leg. Yep, still icing my leg. I wrap. I did a workout today of just literally extensions I did because I got to start lifting some weights with my legs while I'm also doing the rehab that I'm doing with YRG. And, I lifted 5 pounds. The other leg's doing 80. The one that's injured is doing 5 pounds. Before, I couldn't even barely lift that. So nursing it back. But as soon as I got done doing that, I rode the bike for 20 minutes, and then I lifted. And then I did YRG positioning, and some just I got deeper, which was really exciting for me because I had no depth at all, you know, 3 days ago even. And I was getting really deep in my lunges and then just challenging myself a little bit. But first thing I did when I came back was take 3 ice bags and wrap my leg and from the back of my knee, the front of my knee, and the side of my knee. So, you know, ice those wrists, ice them down, and try stretching. If you put your arm straight out in front of you and lock your elbow, and then take your wrist and pull it down. Take your hand and push it down 1,001. Flip it 1,001, and flip it again 1,002, and then flip it 1,003. You're stretching a little bit. It stretches your carpal. Well, what does that actually stretch, Terry?
Pardon me.
When you're stretching, that you don't stretch. I'm talking about with your wrist in your hand.
You're dropping it forward, dropping it back.
Right. You're just taking it, holding it. I hold my fingertips and pull it back, the fingers backward and forward in a curl.
Here's something else, by the way. A lot of times when people have wrist issues, what it is it's more about, we grip things all day long. We're always grabbing for things. We have our hand on the mouse. So there's always this kind of, the hand is actually closing or kind of curling toward itself. How many times do you actually open your fingers in the course of a day? What I mean by that is splay your fingers out. So what I'm saying is there may be a bit of muscle imbalance in regard to the flexors and the closing muscles. So what do? You balance the possible muscle imbalance by actually wrapping rubber bands around the fingers and actually splay the fingers out, doing reps like that in order to actually exercise the extensor muscles in the wrist and the forearm, because they really don't get a lot of work. And that has been something that has been told to me by numerous extremity, specialists over the years as well, where, we grip, we flex, we pull, we grab, but we're not extending. So you can actually do that as well for your wrists.
Good point, Yoga Doc. And I was also thinking, especially computer, and for me as a massage therapist, my hands are always flexed. I'm kind of hyper, hyper extended. And so sometimes after the computer, if you would just naturally kind of go up and massage your forearm muscle just under the bend at the elbow, and you'll feel that flexor muscle so tight because you've been holding that mouse and keeping it in such a flexed position, that if you'll massage that muscle that's just below the elbow on the top of your forearm, that kind of lets go. It's a muscle I work a lot on my people to relax it so it will let the hand go straight. And exercising, like you said, stretching the fingers, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see. We got another question in there? Well, she got the
number. Yeah, we have two more, and we've got a caller. Which one do you guys want to take?
Let's go to the question first, and then we'll go to the caller.
Okay, the first question I have is from Liam. He says, I would love to carry on with my YRG, but after slipping a disc in my lower back 2 years ago, I can't help but think some of the positions are aggravating my back, meaning I need to rest off for too long a period of time to keep my YRG consistent. Any special advice on positions I should try and avoid or ways around aggravating my lower back?
Yogi Doc, I'll put that one on you too.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's what happens. When you're doing YRG, and I'm typically talking to people about doing YRG all the time when they're talking about their back and they're trying to strengthen their back, yet sometimes if you're in pain, you're right. You need to rest. You need to ice. On the other hand, there's also the traction aspects of what YRG will do. Yeah, there are going to be possibly, if you've got a disc issue, there's going to be certain positions that will aggravate your specific problem at a specific time. You've got to just keep away from it. It's being very, very conscious and kind of gingerly moving through the process. And on top of that, you've got to make a decision. If it hurts, and again, remember I said, it's not about pain. If you actually feel a bunch of pain while you're doing a position, you need to steer clear of it for the moment and then start finding the positions in the program that actually not only feel okay, but feel good. You will find them. But in a disc issue, more than likely you're looking for traction style positions like, you know, the safety zone. You know, that's the quickest one. You know, even down dog would be good. And you know, there's no one pat set answer for this. It's slowly work through the program, find the ones that work, stay in those positions, take 10 deep breaths there, and then move on and just see what works from there. You'll find that it'll make a big difference. I mean, you know, Dallas, you were doing typical yoga, you know, flowing vinyasa style, which is not set up for back, you know, for disc issues, right? And you were doing it, and you knew, you know, you hung out in what worked, and you got out of what didn't work, right, when your back was killing you?
I mean, that's the whole reason this ever started anyway.
Right.
I ruptured my L4 and L5, which is not to play light of your injury. Rupturing your L4 and L5 is even more serious than that. And it's just like it's strengthening around it. Like right now, I'm injured. I mean, if you saw me doing the workout, you know, there like now I especially today I was really happy because I could get a little bit deeper, but I was still very cautious as I move because I don't want to blow something out because I got like a baby knee now. You know, it's going to come back. It's going to be stronger than ever. But I'm going to strengthen all the muscles around it as well. So if it hurts, don't do that. That's why there's a modifier in the corner. And the modifying position is almost as, you know, as laid back as you can be. And that's why we have that person in that position, because it could be anywhere from the modifying position to the challenging position. What I love about the videos is that in our most our easiest video, which is energy, Arthur is in the most challenging position. And when you get to double black diamond, Arthur, again, is in the most challenging position. Now, in between that, there may be guys that are in these as challenging positions, but maybe, you know, maybe it's a little bit less or a little bit less. So you just find it, and you know, I've said it a million times, make the YRG work out your own. Now, who do we have in the queue? We're still got about 12 more minutes here. Who do we have in the queue?
Well, pull them up and we'll find out. We've got a caller from the 210 area code.
210.
Okay, that's me. It's Doug.
Dougie!
Hey, Doug!
I figured I had to call in here, you know, and put a few inputs of mine in on here, especially on the modifications part and the, you know, because I've been battling the shoulder injury and wrist injuries. One thing I learned was when Dallas and I were in Houston for the yoga convention thing, I forgot the guy's name that taught, but between him and Ricky Tran, one of the things that they taught was, because I've had a bad wrist problem on my right wrist, it's almost as if you try to touch, you keep your hand out flat, you try to touch your pinky and your thumb together, and then you bring your hand down and turn it to the outside. That really helps me a lot on the stretches for the wrist.
That's good. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's really good.
And then the other part that he was telling us was take your hands and cross them and put the palms of each of your hands together, and you wrap your fingers together, and then you bring them down, like, towards your chest, and then pull them back out. It's like bringing them in and out. You know, both those exercises have helped tremendously. And then, as Dallas said, I didn't find the perfect push-ups good. What I found was I found them really cheap at, like, they're just like the perfect push-ups, except for they're U-shaped or N-shaped, whatever you want to call them, and those don't actually twist. So it gives you better stability when you're doing things like push-ups or whatnot.
Oh, great. I want to congratulate Doug in person, 100 pounds, bro.
Yay, Doug!
That's awesome. Woo! Way to go, man.
Thanks. You know, another thing. I'm sorry,
go ahead.
Another thing was you were talking about modifications, and, you're exactly right. You do what you can do. You know, like for me with my shoulder hurting me, okay, so I do red hot core, or I'll test a little bit here and there. But if it hurts, then I just go ahead and stop doing that and work on something different. But there's so much stuff that you can do and so many different moves. People have hurt their knees. You know, you can do, you know, do things just upper body, YRG sitting in your chair. You know, and these are just I'm going to actually work on doing some some videos I've been thinking about putting out there for people that have been asking questions like that, of just doing some things from your chair where you're not really necessarily using your legs as much.
Cool.
That's
okay,
great
so
stuff.
What's the last question there, bro?
The last question we have is from Sue. She says, I think I overthink healthy food choices. I recently started looking at gluten-free products, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I want to lose weight fast, I need to go do protein-only / low carbs. Having been on every diet in the world, how do I reconcile all the information and just focus on one plan?
Well, I'll tell you what, Terry. Why don't you ask the lady's question there, because you went through all those levels there.
She's the pioneer of nutrition here of YRG.
Right.
I know. I think I have done it always, hardly eating a carb, food combining. I still do a variety of ways. I think, you know, I obviously think wheat is not good for most anybody, let alone some of us. We get very sick from it. I just went to a workshop about the wheat, and that the doctor believes dairy is even worse, affects more people than wheat. So if you're looking to lose weight, but not just pounds, but keep inflammation out of your body and help with the aging, I don't know how old you are. For me, aging is I'm looking at it in the face here. So I've noticed my skin cleared with less wrinkles in that. When I eat foods that are healthy, it not only helps me keep my weight off, but it helps my skin look good. But I would still eat a balanced meal. You need health, but you need carbs for fuel, right, Yoga Doc? I mean,
oh, yeah.
But they need to be healthy, whole grain, good stuff. Now, I don't eat oatmeal either. I'm a celiac that doesn't touch oats. But I eat the cream of rice farina because it's a whole grain. I use brown rice milk and almond milk, various things. So I still think you have to have your carbs. And, yes, maybe you get the weight off only eating protein and 100 chickens a day. I don't know. But eventually you got to stop just eating chicken. And this is what I found with all the packaged diets and that. You can probably lose weight on all kinds of ways, but you can't sustain it. So you lose the weight, and then what happens? You gain it back and gain more fat cells and that. You have to do something that you can live with the rest of your life, because this is what the YRG journey is about. It's not about losing pounds, because then when you lose them, you're done. It's about living a healthy life all the way to the end.
Terry?
Yes?
Hey, this is Doug again. I wanted to add also on that. I've had a lot of people talk to me about this, and one of the things I tell them is, you know, there are substitutions for everything out there, because there's so many people that feel that, you know, well, I'm going to have to give up my favorite food. So I've been asking, what's your favorite food? Now, the only thing I can't find a food on is like fried chicken. But, you know, other than that, I pretty much found everything. I've made my own substitutions for pizzas and all this other stuff. So it can be done. You know, it just takes a little bit of research and asking questions, you know, and you know, there's substitutes, like I said, just like you found for the yogurt, you know.
That's excellent, Doug. And also, I think you have to step back into the kitchen. We people who wanted to only eat out and trust everybody else with the foods that supply our life in our body, it's the only house we have to live in. And as a nurse, most of us are going to grow old. But how do you want to grow old? In a nursing home or with type 2 diabetes and on dialysis at the end, or do you want to eat healthy and be active when you're old? So you want to eat good, but we have to start taking responsibility for the foods. I mean, you might be lucky enough to live somewhere and afford to eat out all the time and it's really good stuff. Probably not. So that means take the time to get back in the kitchen, spend your money on good food. Because otherwise you're going to spend a lot of money on doctors and meds. I do guarantee that toward the end. What year, I don't know. But sooner or later, the devil gets his dues. You're 40, you're 50, you're 60, but it cometh. So get in the kitchen and find the food you like and create them and cook again. And make it joyful, because it's a celebration into your body, not a punishment. And sometimes, I know, Paige, I whine sometimes about my gluten stuff. stuff. We have discussions because I miss the social part of my friends that I go out with. It that's trickier. It's only when I leave my house do I notice sometimes I'm different than a lot of women my age. But when I'm inside, start cooking and be festive and enjoy feeling good again.
And you know, Terry, to add one thing on that also, I've had people tell me, yeah, it's so expensive. It's so expensive to eat this way. And I say, well, that's a bunch of crap because, you know, I'd rather pay $6 for a pound of ground bison at Whole Foods. That's a whole pound when you go pay $8 in a restaurant for a burger and fries. You know, so it ends up being cheaper, you know, just to cook your own meals rather than go out and eat all the time.
It really does, doesn't it? You have to take your time to do it. You put down the Xbox thingy, and you can see I'm not technical, and turn off the TV enough, and actually engage your family, cook together. We used to, I think, at least that shows my age, when I was growing up, we all cooked together, we ate together, and we need to go back to that a little bit.
I want to end it with this numbers. I just heard a research, you know, team had come up with these numbers. I believe it was in the 50s. In the 50s, we spent 19% of our income as a family on food, and we spent, I believe it was 12% on medicine, doctors, insurance, etc., for our health. Today, we spend 8 to 9% of our income on food, and we spend like 23% on doctors, on insurance, on medicines.
Excellent.
I mean, how many medicines can they come up with themselves? I mean, it's like, how many commercials can you see? What's really fucked up is now there's this new law that says that any big company, let's say the pharmaceutical company, they can give whatever candidate they want as much money as they want, whether it's an oil company or insurance. I don't know how this passed. Except for yo, we have no control.
Really,
anymore.
You don't? Don't get me started. Yeah.
The bottom line is we can only control ourselves, and that's really what the whole YRG Living Life at 90% attitude is all about. Take control of yourself. You cannot control all the crazy shit happening around you, but you can control. Have you have total control the way you breathe if you train yourself and if you go to the DVDs and really take that breathing in and out from 3 seconds to 5 to 10 to 20. I've gotten to where I can breathe in for 70 and out for 70. And if you knew how much it helped my patients, it would blow your mind. Because before I would fly off at the handle at any drop, what the fuck? And I just start complaining about whatever. It's like, what happened? I broke a glass? Clean it up. You know, or spilled some organic juice and broke the glass. That's a catastrophe. But
or spilled water on your computer. Yeah.
Oh, God. Did anybody see that? If you haven't seen that video, you have to go to the Real DDP and scroll down a little bit, and you'll see me and Terry and Steve Yu talking about thyroid. Actually, we were cutting. There's another version of that, so it gives like the whole leap, and I'm going to bring that up in the next week. I'll bring it up next week to show people the whole story, how it went through. It's actually really amusing. You notice I wasn't screaming and yelling. I was just like, oh, not again.
I really thought the computer, the old you, would have had the computer through my window, but only a few swear words. I consider myself totally blessed. Look how you've changed.
So the bottom line is you do control the way you breathe, and that's the first thing I grab, the way you react, how you adapt, and how you take action. You also control your heart rate, and last but not least, you
only you control what you put in your mouth. On that, I'm going to close it up. I want to thank Doug for coming on here and Brian for coming into the queue and being part of the roundtable. I want to especially thank Terry Lang for being a part of Yoga Doc and my experience here. Love having you on here, Doc. It's great to have you back on board. And that's all.
It's good to be out of the weeds.
Thanks, fellas. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
We will be back here next, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, and we will be on Thursdays at 9 o'clock East Coast time and 6 o'clock Pacific time. That's all I got to say. You are wonderful. You are marvelous, but see ya.
Peace.
Peace, brother. Bye. Bye, everybody. Wonderful to chat with you. Good night, and have sweet dreams of coconut yogurt, maybe. Bye.
About your questions on YRG workout, YRG, on the team YRG, if you got them, we'll answer them. See ya.